Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is our good buddy Alex Marvez from the Sporting News and Sirius XM NFL Radio. What's happening, Alex?
Hey, is Dave doing great? About to head to Broncos training camp, or just a Falcons training camp a little bit earlier today, continuing my tour across America. Boy, oh boy, that Falcons team, they are a dangerous bunch, especially if they can stay healthy. They were actually, it's weird to forget about this, they were actually the only team in the NFC to repeat as a playoff team from 2016. Everyone else was new in the field last year except for them. And to think about, you know, being 5-5 after 10 games and the Super Bowl hangover, you know, they could never really truly get going as a team, but I do think they'll be better on offense in 2018. I also think, too, this defense now is really morphing into what it is that Dan Quinn wanted when he took over. I mean, this is a formidable group that finished in the top 10 in both fewest yards allowed and scoring. So I think there's a pretty darn good group from what I've seen out there today.
Well, that's an interesting point that you touch on there when we're making our predictions, because it's always the obvious move is to look back on the standings last year and just say, okay, those teams are going back, and it never happens. We get burned every single year when we're trying to predict what's going to happen. It's never predictable. And we were talking about that with the NFC East yesterday. Like, the Eagles deserve to be the number one seed, or the expectation is that they'll repeat. But who's to say that the Giants won't get drastically better? Who's to say that with Alex Smith in Washington, all of a sudden they won't turn it up? And, you know, the Cowboys, we goof on them all the time, but they have won a lot of games over the past couple of years.
Right, and you're right about that division. It is a little bit tricky, and I think the Giants are set for a big-time rebound. I just love the culture Pat Shermer is building there, and Dave Gettleman, you haven't really heard any issues with Odell Beckham Jr., and it seems like they are willing to make him at some point the highest-paid receiver in NFL history. They're having active talks with his agent about that. I would imagine something gets done sooner than later in that regard. I mean, because Odell knows what it's like. You suffer another major injury, and all of a sudden, you know, tens of millions of dollars may be vanishing from your pocket. So I think that's something to consider there as well. You're right with Alex Smith. Listen, there are some folks who think this Redskins offense may actually be better with Alex Smith at quarterback than Kirk Cousins. And it was weird because Alex was actually the best deep passer in the NFL last year. I'm not joking when I say this. I mean, of course, he waited 13 seasons to showcase this skill. I guess he just figured, why not pull it out now while he was going to be on the trade block this offseason. He really had a nice year last year for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, and then you throw in the Cowboys. And look, there's talent on that Cowboys team. Obviously, the offensive side of the football with Dak, with Zeke, et cetera. You know, how good can they be? I just feel like the Cowboys are still a 500 caliber franchise. But nonetheless, this is another team that could really push the Eagles. I mean, that's the thing. The Eagles go into this, you know, with that huge target on their back. That's the thing that's so different than last year and all the good vibes about Philadelphia. Everyone is gunning for them this season because they want to knock off the best team in football. And it's always a measuring stick, you know, even for the bad teams. And just for more motivation, if you beat the defending Super Bowl champion, it says that your program is headed in the right direction. So I'm really excited. I'm excited to see, too, what's going to happen to quarterback. Is Carson Wentz going to be back? Is he fully good to go? Because it does appear that he may have taken a slight step back in his rehab by being benched in practice earlier this week.
So, Alex, if football season is about a month away, that means Hard Knocks season is upon us. And I really got to get your take on this. What would have possessed the Cleveland Browns, a franchise that's widely, you know, considered one of the worst in all of pro sports and has won one game in the past two seasons combined, what would have possessed them to put themselves under the microscope that is a reality TV show that captures a lot of stuff about the flaws within your organization?
Well, I mean, it captures flaws, but it also captures hope, right? And I think that's what the Cleveland Browns were looking to do. And I think, you know, having those cameras there brings responsibility. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be Chad Ochocinco getting arrested on a domestic violence charge and being cut on HBO. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
So I think players realize that, and it does lead to a little bit more of an intense training camp. To be honest, I've been around Hard Knocks so much that the players barely notice the cameras. They're trying to promote that it's a new time, a new era in Cleveland. And what better way to do that than to provide unfettered access? Now, look, you know, some players are going to be embarrassed. You're going to see coming up with Antonio Callaway, the Browns wide receiver, had drug issues at the University of Florida. It's popped once again on a marijuana possession charge. He says that the weed in the car wasn't his. It was a car that he shipped up from Florida, and his buddies were using it. Of course, now it's been shown, the police report shows that there was a piece of ammunition inside there, maybe some bullets, I mean, things like this. It's just, you know, again, I think that's something that's embarrassing for a franchise. But I think that they realize, look, what better way to try to promote ourselves and show that we're going in the right direction than do it on Hard Knocks and try to generate some excitement from a franchise that really hasn't had any in just so long. I mean, they've won one game in 32 years. I really believe it's harder to go 0-16 than 16-0. And somehow the Browns were able to do it. It's remarkable. I mean, perfection. They haven't won a football game since Christmas Eve of 2016. So how about that? Let's simmer on that.
Yeah, seriously. So are you buying the pitch that there actually is reason for hope here?
Well, I mean, the roster's better. Now, how much better? I don't know. I think Tyrod Taylor has a really good veteran presence. For one thing, Tyrod Taylor may not win a whole heck of a lot of games, but you know what? He doesn't lose a whole heck of a lot either in terms of making big-time mistakes, turnovers, et cetera. And I think that's really what the Browns were looking for. Just have a placeholder quarterback who's going to give them a chance to win some games. And look, they got the Jets in week three. That may be the first Cleveland victory we're looking at. But I think that's the thing. They got to get something on the board early. I think they'll feel a little bit better about themselves. I think they're hoping that Myles Garrett takes the next step in his career, year two of his NFL career. They really feel good about their secondary and the addition of Denzel Ward from Ohio State. Denzel Ward of Ohio State. You know, they passed up an elite pass rushing prospect in Bradley Chubb to bring him in. And they just feel like he's going to really upgrade their secondary. So I think there's a lot of pieces there for the Browns to work. Now, of course, too, you know, Hugh Jackson and the reflection upon him. And, of course, Hard Knocks last night, a lot of look at his personal life, losing his mother. He's lost his sister this year. Been a very tough go from Hugh, but he still has the endorsement of Jimmy Haslam, the Browns owner, who really wants to see things work out for Hugh with John Dorsey, the GM. And whether it works out, well, we're going to find out about 4 months from now.
Yeah, with Alex Marvez of the Sporting News. I had a different take on this Jarvis Landry rant that was on Hard Knocks last night. And he was in a video room with other wide receivers, and it's laced with profanity. We can't even play it. It's not worth playing because it's just it's all beep, 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 beep. But he's going on about how, you know, everything's going to change now because he's not going to put up with anything. And if you're slightly injured but you can still practice, you got to get out there and practice. And I don't know what happened here in the past. And a lot of people are amplifying that as, wow, what a motivating speech. But I look at that as this guy's just throwing dirt again on the Browns. Like, who the hell is Jarvis Landry to look down on the Browns? I mean, you're coming from Miami. He didn't come from the Patriots. You know, he didn't win 5 Super Bowls in the past 15 years. Like, I thought that was so disrespectful. And it was, quite frankly, I thought it was just manipulated, really. He knew the cameras were on and he wanted to be a big shooter.
And that's the part that I think gets to you, right? And that's the negative of Hard Knocks. And listen, I've talked to editors there. I've talked to guys, you know, coaches who have said, what a headache this is for us. We got to deal with guys that are mugging in front of the camera, and then if their segment isn't on TV, then they get upset and they talk about it. You know, behind the scenes in the meeting room, why didn't you guys feature me? You know, and listen, the team edits this stuff before it goes out there. The team is fully aware of everything that is on Hard Knocks. They screen the show before it gets out. So that it's not a shock what happened last night with Jarvis Landry for anyone that's seeing it. And listen, I think Jarvis too feels, look, you paid me to be an elite level wide receiver. He is the only wide receiver in NFL history to catch 400 passes during his first 4 seasons. So, you know, to him, he has some skins on the wall. And he, you know, I think there was a little bit of hyperbole obviously involved and a little bit of, you know, showmanship in front of the camera. But I also think too, if you're talking about, like, look, he's played with guys that have been committed to each other in South Florida. I know for a fact that Kenny Stills was battling some pre-offseason injuries back in about 2016, that he kept going because his relationship was so strong with the other wide receivers. He was willing to play through pain and get out there. And look, that's the thing. I think he just wonders, are all these guys really hurt? Are they not able to get through practice? Because remember this, too. Every time a guy misses practice, what does that mean? More reps for Jarvis Landry. So might be a little bit self-serving as well. Get some guys out there. But he's trying to change the culture. I like to try to think of it as a positive. I'm not going to play it up or anything else than it is. It is a reality television show. We don't know how Jarvis is looked at by the rest of his teammates. But, you know, I think the Browns fans, you know, at least as far as the show business element of this goes, would rather see a player like that than some of the stuff that's been going on with the Browns and the disaster at the wide receiver position has been the past couple of years.
Thanks, Alex. We'll do it again down the road.
Can't wait. Thank you so much.
Here's Alex Marvez of the Sporting News joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com.